You are good always, always. And you proved it with Jesus by allowing him and sending him to take our place, to be incarnate as man and God, and the whole meaning of life was for us being created to be with you because of your great love for us. So we sinned. We were separated from that line of life, but Christ came and he restored that connection again, to be born again. So we pray you give us ears to hear what your message is for us today as your ambassadors in Christ's name. Amen. So real quickly, if that video is available, you could shut the lights, Colleen, real quick, and just take a quick look at it. Build two classrooms on the right and on the left. A couple of good windows. And that's all she wrote. So it's that's why we're going to have a prayer meeting, just thanking the Lord. And by the way, it's close. It's Bay 19th Street between Bath and Cropsey. So it's about a mile from here, a mile and a half, if that. It's a provision that the Lord has given us. I'm very grateful because just as quickly it might not have been. So that's what the message is about. Is it about a new place that God has provided? Yes. But for what reason? What is your mission? What is my mission? What is our goal? What are we living for? Okay, we're living for the Lord, but what else? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And that word perish means they're unrestrained. But he who keeps the law is blessed. So the law of God keeps us restrained. The law of God keeps society restrained. But when there's no law, when there's no vision of God, the people become like they are today, most people. Unrestrained in evil, just going crazy. In Judges chapter 21, verse 25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Why is that? Because they had no king. They had no king that represented God. Their God was out of the picture, and they had no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Whatever rationale they had, oh, this is right for me, so I'm going to do it. And that's what you have today as well. Because there is no king, there's no God, there's no godly king representing God, and there's no God, no king in society, no law, the law of God, that is. And so the people are unrestrained and just doing whatever they think is right in their own eyes. Today it's right in their own eyes, tomorrow will be wrong, and a new right will come. And that's where we're heading. But what do we do with all of that? What's happening in our lives? Well, here's our vision. Here is our word that the Lord gives us in Matthew 28:18. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I command you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we're the salt, we're the light that God has left, that God has called us to be in order to bring his word, his love, his reason why he came to earth and died for our sins. That's our job. That's why God has called you and I. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, when I saw the Lord high and mighty up, and the angels were crying, holy, 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 I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, that is Isaiah, here I am, send me. And God said, go and tell the people who who keep on listening but do not understand, and keep on looking but they do not gain knowledge. Isaiah was to teach and preach the word of God, whether or not they listened or not. God says, Jesus, go, make disciples of all nations. Isaiah said, when he heard the voice, who's willing to go? Isaiah said, I am. And God said, well, go now. So the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to follow the commandment of the Lord and the mission that God has given you? To go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have taught you. And lo, I am with you always, and all authority has been given to me, God said. All authority belongs to God. This is God's world. It's a fallen world. It's moving in a direction that God is allowing because he's allowing the world to come to fruition for him to bring his bride home, us. But he's given us this mandate to go, teach the word, and understand that all authority has been given to him. And in his name, you have his authority to make disciples, to tell people the good news. So Jesus, in Matthew 9:36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed, dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So how do you see the world? How do you see people? Okay, I see evil. I get upset over it. I see the pain and the harm that it's going to cause on innocent children. And I see people who are in charge promoting this evil that's going to destroy people's lives. You know, I've heard stories of transgenderism where you go to a point where you castrate yourself or you remove a woman's breasts and you take these hormones to prevent you from puberty and stuff like that. There's no point. There's no return. But the children don't understand that yet. And yet society has given them the authority to make choices that you have no say about as a parent. I mean, is that sick or is that sick? But that's where we are today. And it's not going to get better. Now, we have an opportunity to vote in November. I suggest you vote for those who are more conservative, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Vote for the policies that they hold, not necessarily for red or blue or independent. You vote for what you know is right. And that's who I vote for, whether it be whoever it may be, as long as I know they're doing the right thing and they want to set the right policies in order. But November is going to change dramatically, and I'll say this out loud, if the Democrats win, they're promoting all of this nonsense. If they win, things are going to change dramatically for worse. No borders? You think that's... No. I can go on and on and on, but I just want to give you a heads up. Pray and vote your conscience. Now, the Lord felt compassion for people. So when I see this evil occurring, the Bible tells me to pray for my enemies. And I have to pray for those who are the enemies of God, those who are against God's agenda. Now, I know my flesh wants to, you know, Lord, take them out. And I still pray a little bit of that, to be honest. If they're not going to follow your agenda and they're going to keep destroying lives, Lord, stop them one way or the other. Please, you're in charge. But I don't want to see anyone go to hell. God doesn't want to see anyone go to hell. Jonah said, Lord, destroy Nineveh. And God said, Jonah, you don't know. These people, they don't know right from wrong. And he spared Nineveh. So there's a lot of people involved that don't know right or wrong. So when I see someone out in the street who's believing these lies, I have to say, Lord, please save their soul. Because they don't know. They're blind. And Jesus seeing the people in distress as sheep without a shepherd, and they're just following these wrong, illegal shepherds, and they're just following the tide. And so whom shall I send? How do you see? Do you have compassion like Jesus had compassion? seeing the multitudes. We have to pray, God, give me compassion, because people are going to hell. They're locked up. They're lost. And I always can bring to mind, John, you too once was that way. And so were you. But when the mercy of God came and showed you grace and you responded to it, you were set free. So we have to pray that God will show grace and mercy to those who are caught up in their sin and bound up in their sin. Can I get an amen? Can I get a real amen?
Amen.
Yes. So what's our message? 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. An ambassador is someone who is in a foreign country. It's not his country, but he's representing the country he's from. So we have ambassadors from the United States, and they go to different countries to represent the country they're from and to speak in behalf of the country that they're representing. The United States, we have ambassadors in China, Iraq, Iran, whatever it may be. And these ambassadors are to speak in behalf of the United States. So Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. This is not my home. This is not your home. We're in a foreign country. We're in a foreign world. Heaven is my home. That's where I'm going for eternity. That's where you're going if you believe in Christ. And God, Jesus, told us, go, be my ambassador. Speak the word of reconciliation, he goes on to say. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through you. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So that's a big word. So what is be reconciled? What do you mean be reconciled? In verse 21, here's the answer. That God the Father made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin in your behalf. You're telling someone this. So that you might become righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ. So, the reconciliation is that you're a sinner like I was. I've been forgiven because of Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. Will you accept that? That's being an ambassador. You're representing Jesus Christ. You're representing heaven and eternity. Bless you. And so he gives this in verse 1 of chapter 6, the next verse, and working together with him. Oh, wow. Check that out. Angels, no. Supernatural miracles, no. But you as a person working together with God, because God is in you. He doesn't ask angels to make disciples. He uses human beings. I mean, that's a powerful privilege and an honor and love that you have his authority and you have his Holy Spirit in him to put the devil to shame, to pull back some of the darkness that is overwhelming people, to pray that you will have more authority. If you don't think you have it, you do, but you say, Lord, give me more of your spirit so that I can be effective for you while I still have my breath on this earth, because it all expires and everyone sooner or later. Working together with him as his ambassador with the compassion of Jesus, who will I send? You don't raise your hand now, but you raise your hand and say, Lord, send me. Remember, if you don't have a vision of God's life and God's law and where he's going and what he's doing in your life, you perish too. If I don't follow God, I got to follow something. No one lives a vacuum. If you think you live in a vacuum, you're making a mistake. Nobody can live in nothing. You have to be living for something. Otherwise, if you're blank and you're non-existent, then you have nothing. But everyone here is not non-existent. You're here. There's no vacuum. So you have to decide, is he true? Is eternity true? Is Jesus true? Did he die on the cross for my sins? Is the world perishing? Did he call me to be his ambassador to teach others and disciple others and baptize them in the name of the Father? Did he give me his authority because he's given me his Holy Spirit? Yes, 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 yes. So how does that work? In Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed by faith. You don't do this by seeing your name written in the sky. Oh, yeah, God called me to do that. That fits for me. Until I see that, it's not appropriate for me to believe that for myself. Maybe pastors and maybe others, but not me. But yet, by faith, everyone steps out. When he was called, he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he left, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. You're a fellow heir of the same promise. Now, he was living by faith for the new land that God promised Abraham he would give them. Spiritually speaking, we're living by faith in this foreign land, and you leave your tent. He left his house in the land of Chaldees, in the land of Ur, which is Iran. He left the northern part, his house, his home, whatever it was, and said, no, I'm going because God has called me to go. And so there's an inconvenience in all of our lives to follow God and follow his will to receive his promises and to allow God to use us to get others saved. You might have family. You might have family, brothers, sisters. Do you really think that not praying for them is going to be something that will win them to Christ? No. I'm not asking any of us here to be more than what God has given you, but we have to grow. And you grow by faith, stepping out on the water and going beyond your own fears and say, God, you died for the world. Use me, my family. I'll pray to them. I'll pray for them or friends or whoever. Now, he said here that Abraham was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Wow. I'm looking for heaven. Not for heaven in and of itself, but for the one who walks in heaven, who created heaven, Jesus Christ. He's love. You know, I was thinking of this too today. I was thinking this morning. In heaven, it tells us in Revelation chapter 20, I believe, or 21, there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. There's not going to be any more sin. There's not going to be a struggle in your mind. There's not going to be temptation. The devil won't be there. So how can I experience the victory over sin if I don't have a memory of it? How does that happen? I'm not going to have a memory of it. But yet, the Bible tells me that we're going to see the Lamb that was slain. We're going to see Jesus. So there's going to be something about seeing Jesus that's going to have us appreciate without feeling the pain of sin or the pain of evil and the victory that we're not going to experience any of that, but we're going to experience maybe all of his victory. And again, I go back to that illustration. Well, how's that going to happen? What I said earlier, his ways are higher than our ways. We're like a fish in the bottom of the ocean, thousands of feet down. You have no idea what the surface is like, breathing oxygen and walking around as a human being. They're fish. They don't know what a human. And so in heaven, when we get there, we're going to be like this fish all of a sudden becoming a person, I guess you could say. We're going to be like this body is going to take on his body, a whole new dimension, a whole new sense. The sixth sense, it's going to be beyond what you could ever imagine, but it's going to happen because he's God. When they left Egypt with Moses, they were led by a cloud by day, which was the presence of God, and fire by night, which was the presence of God. The cloud protected them from the heat of the day as they walked through the desert, and the fire gave them light and warmth as they walked through the cold, dark nights in the desert. But it was his presence that they were following. And when the cloud was taken up, Exodus 40, 36, from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel journeyed on in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey until the day that it was taken up. Well, as I mentioned earlier, and we've seen that little clip, the cloud is moving. God is moving us to another place. We settled here as long as God kept us here. But now God is moving us on. He's given us a place because he wants us to share the gospel in that location. Here it's a little dark in ways of coming in here. We've had many jokers saying, yeah, I thought I was going to get mugged when I came into this warehouse here. I didn't know what to expect. And that's true. That's true. There once was an abandoned car outside, and someone was saying, on their GPS, is this the place? And it was an abandoned car. They were waiting for someone to come in and say, yeah, come on in, and then, you know, break their neck and take their money, whatever. But this was where God brought us. And now he's bringing us to a location, Bay 19th Street. It's not far from here at all. With the purpose and the vision, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All authority has been given to you. That is our purpose. More so there than ever before here. Why are we moving? Because God is moving us, and because it's the time. It's time is short, and God has blessed us, and he's saying, now go. All that has been invested in your life, build up the body of Christ, win souls, and build up the body of Christ, the church of Christ. That's the next thought. So now it tells us in Exodus 25, the Lord is speaking here, and he says, let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. A sanctuary for me. We know that we are the sanctuary of God. We know that every child belongs to the parents. But do those children, even though they have that knowledge, live outside their house? Or do they gather together at a house in order to eat, in order to feed each other, in order to learn from each other, in order to be protected? Well, it's the same thing with the family of God. You're a child of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But does that mean you live out on your own? No. You come to the house of God. He's given us a place where we can feed each other, where we can love on each other, where we can bring the lost in. So for some to say, oh, God doesn't have buildings anymore, you're missing it. He has a sanctuary for us to gather. You can thank God for that. Going through the COVID time and you didn't have a place to go, to some maybe it didn't matter, but to most it mattered a lot that we could gather again. To do what? To learn through the Spirit of God? Yes. To learn through his word? Yes. To learn through prayer? Yes. And to learn through fellowship like we have here. So God said, build me a sanctuary so that I may dwell. We have this place here just as an asset for God to dwell. When I come to church, I expect God. I expect God to move on my heart. I expect God to speak to each individual. Do you expect that when you come to church? It's yours. So he says, build me a sanctuary. And guess what? That's what we're doing. As of late, we've gotten sheetrock. Someone gave us an opportunity to get it half price. We're going to build classrooms. Lord willing, we're going to build another bathroom. People tell me, I don't want to go into an outhouse, Pastor. Build another bathroom. We have one. So we're going to, with all our energies, get another one, build another one. But everyone gave something to participate in building the sanctuary for the Lord, whether it was then or it is now. God has called us all to work as a unit, to give what you can give of yourself, to participate in the blessing of being part of a work that God is doing. When you're just sitting and you're not a part of the work, you're not giving of yourself in one form or another, you become a bystander. You take it or leave it. But when you get your hands dirty and you put some skin into the game, let me tell you something. You take ownership and you feel so much better. This is my family. This is my church. And I'm going to give to the Lord. So he says here, the first thing he wanted to give, and hang on while I explain this. Take from among you contributions to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. God doesn't want anybody to give anything grudgingly, whether it be your money or your skill or anything else. Everyone who has a willing heart, this is my church. This is God's vision for me. I'm God's people, and I got a time to follow the cloud where he's leading and participate in it. So he says, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring to the Lord, contributions, and he says, of gold, silver, and bronze. Where did that come from? Came from Egypt. When they left Egypt, they took all the valuables. People, here, take the gold, take the silver. They didn't have it there. They didn't make money in the wilderness, but they already had it. What was it for? It wasn't so they can buy material. They're in the wilderness. It was to use the material to build the house of God. The gold to cover the Ark of the Covenant. The silver, the poles, the plug, all of it. I don't got the details in my head right now. But it was to give a contribution. So I'm here to say this. If you want to give a contribution to buy material for the church, you just take one of those envelopes in front of you and write on it for the new building. And this will go for us to the material and for whatever we wants to get to buy things. And that's your willingness and nothing else. And then he says in Exodus 35, 10 through 14, let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. And here's some of the things that they were to build. The tabernacle, its tent, its coverings, its hooks, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the ark and its poles, the mercy seat and the curtain of the screen, the table and its poles and all the utensils, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand, also for light, its utensils and its lamps, and oil to light it. All the skillful men, what skill do you have that you can give to the Lord for the building of this? The lighting of the lamps, maybe an electrician. Maybe the levier, maybe you're a plumber. Maybe you're a construction, a carpenter, maybe you're a laborer. Whatever it may be, God has given all of us a skill and an opportunity to give for his glory. That's it. So my challenge or my word or God's word to us is, what are you going to do with the skill that he's given you? He said, well, I'm a woman. I don't know. Well, let me read something. In verses 25 through 26, all the skilled women, spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue, purple, scarlet, material, and fine linen, all the women whose hearts stirred them with a skill and spun goat's hair. Women have a job. They're different than men. Praise the Lord. But what is your skill as a woman? Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it has nothing to do with curtains and, you know, spinning cords together. But decorating, very possible. Or like I said, maybe it's just being a servant. Hey, can I get you workers some coffee? Hey, can I get you a hero? Well, how about a steak dinner? Oh, yeah, we'll get that for you, too. You know, contributing yourself for the honor of God's glory. I don't know if it'll come again. This is everyone's opportunity. And then lastly, and then we'll finish with the sermon. In Exodus 36, 4 and 6, it says, now all the skillful men, and you could say women as well, who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing. And they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform. So Moses issued a command and a proclamation which circulated throughout the camp, saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more. What a blessing, huh? People were so involved in giving and helping and building that they, God said, we got enough. So Moses makes the proclamation, we got enough, no more. What a blessing that is for a church, huh? There are so many workers, so many people wants to be a part of what God is doing. That's a good thing to have. I would rather have more than have less for God's glory. So if God has given you a skill, if God has given you money that you want to give to the Lord, if God has given you, do it with a willing heart. And if God has stirred up your heart, as he did here for those to build the tabernacle, follow your heart. Let me summarize these 10 points. When there's no vision or law, the people are not restrained. When you don't have Christ as the center, as your king, there's going to be chaos, and you're going to do everything that's right in your own sight, not God's sight. Our mission, secondly, well, that's the introduction. Our mission, firstly, is to go and make disciples of all nations in the name of Jesus Christ, to teach the word, to evangelize with the word, to build up his body. Thirdly, as Isaiah said, send I. Will you say that? The Lord is looking for workers. The harvest is plentiful, the labors are few. This is your opportunity. What a great opportunity God has given us. He didn't collapse us. You didn't die. I didn't die. God has a reason. And when he's done with us, then we meet him. But until then, he's given you and I a free will to honor him, to surrender to him, to decrease so he can increase, to walk by faith and not by sight. And what is our mission? Jesus had compassion for the lost. Stir up compassion in our hearts, Lord. What is our mission? You're his ambassador. Be reconciled to God. Tell people that Jesus saves. Thirdly, we are pilgrims on this earth. This is not my planet. I'm an ambassador. This is not my home. My home is in heaven, and I walk by faith as Abraham did, not by sight, not by my feelings, but by the commandments of the Lord, because his ways are so much higher than my ways. We follow the cloud, the presence of God. He said, John, it's time to move. In circumstances, he provided that to happen. The brook dried up with Elijah, and he had to move on to another location. Well, the brook dried up here, and he's moving us to another location. And Elijah was to meet a widow who needed to get saved and her son. God is moving us to another location for other people to get saved. Can I get an amen? We follow the cloud and the fire. We build his sanctuary. God said, build me a sanctuary. Me. It's for his glory. So we build and we take what we have, whether it's contributions of gold and silver for the construction of it, or it's for skillful people who have a talent and want to give of themselves to build the sanctuary, or skilled women, and let it be known when it's done and we have enough and we need no more. You'll probably be saying, I want to give. Well, it's too late. So now is the time to give of yourself to the Lord. As the worship team comes up,